from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All my friends, you're a low rider.
Sports Radio 99 The Game at 99thegame.com. Into the 9 o'clock hour on this Sunday morning, Sam Crenshaw 9 flows up at the Kia Studios, minus Greg, but with Noelle, who's just, see that? She's just been having a great time this morning. We had a great weekend.
We really did.
And Garrett was in here with us yesterday, and we're having fun again this morning. Great to have you in here with us today. Braves are playing later on today. They're playing 3:10 our time as they play out in Colorado. Let's see if the ball can go flying out of the ballpark again like it did last night. They got Spencer Schwellenbach starting as they play there before they head out to San Francisco and to Anaheim this week, before coming back home next week to take on the Philadelphia Phillies. The Braves, 7.5 back of the Phillies. And, you know, but like I said earlier, we're not jumping off the 17th Street Bridge yet.
Disneyland unless y'all win.
I know, that's right. That is for sure. So we'll see what happens if they can keep things going. You know, Matt Olson having a big, big night, 2 home runs, 1 a grand slam. Great to have his bat going. That is fantastic for the Braves. All right, Olympics winding down. I'm watching cycling. I'm watching water polo. They get set. Everybody's packing up and getting ready to head for them. One of those guys is Coley Harvey. Always a great job for ESPN. He's native of the Atlanta area, and he's a friend of the show. And I had a chance to talk with him earlier this morning. And one thing we asked him about, how long did it take him to make the adjustment with the hours difference between here and Paris?
It probably took me, and excuse me, I've started losing my voice because I've been over here for so long. But I think it probably took me about 2 days to really start to kind of get used to it. It might have taken my body a little bit longer. I definitely got sick one day early on in being here. But yeah, you know, it's just what happens when you got to get used to being in a different environment. But all is good, all is well. It's been a fun few weeks. It's been a fast few weeks. I can't believe that we're already at this point where tonight is the closing ceremonies and the Olympics will be officially over.
Yeah, officially over. It's been remarkable. And your main assignment, I think, was track. And, man, what a show U.S. Olympic team put on there.
Yeah, an unreal show. Track and field was my main assignment. I actually had a chance to cover a little bit of fencing, a little bit of skateboarding, a little bit of women's sevens rugby sevens. I saw a lot of different events. I saw a lot of different events at really cool venues. Beach volleyball in front of the Eiffel Tower was unreal. But track and field was my bread and butter throughout these games. And you know, we had a number of athletes with Atlanta ties even who showed up and showed out on the track. And a lot of athletes with ties to SEC schools, whether it's Kentucky or athletes who trained at Georgia or Florida. So certainly a little bit of a local flavor for some of our folks back home there. But just what we saw the Americans do on the track the last week and a half was really unreal. It was somewhat expected. You know, we were hoping that maybe this would be so-called the return of the year of the sprinter, that we might see some of the 100, 200 meter runners kind of get back into form, and then see the 4x4 and 4x1 relays perform. Really, everything went according to plan, except for, unfortunately, the men's 4x1 relay. Once again, just drama with the baton and drama with exchanges, and you know, and that team just can't seem to get to the medal stand. You know, maybe in LA things will be different, but otherwise, everything else on the track went about as flawlessly and according to plan as USATF could have dreamed up.
Take us behind the scenes a little bit as far as you've been able to do your work and what you have to do. I mean, when I, you know, Olympics was 04, I went over, everybody went to the media center. You went to a certain location to file your reports and do things. Now, I'm sure now you can kind of do your reports from wherever you are at the venue, right?
No, pretty much the same kind of rules are still applying. You know, you do a lot of work at what we call the MPC, the Media Press Center, as you mm-hmm. mentioned. And here in Paris, it's in a pretty central location for the city of Paris, but in terms of some of the events, it's not the most direct location for getting around to some of where the venues were for some of the actual games. But that being said, you could follow reports there. You could follow reports outside of stadiums, but you had to be well beyond where the gates and security was. So, you know, I did that once or twice when it comes to TV. But also for ESPN, we had a setup across from the Eiffel Tower just to give a really great shot, cool shot for the fans back home. And that was another place where, when it came to television, we did a lot of television from that location with our friends at ABC. So it's kind of getting in wherever you can all over. But yeah, a lot of the same restrictions apply when it comes to video and what you can and can't share inside the venue. That's why I would have loved to have had my own video, for example, of seeing Sha'Carri Richardson just tear down the track. But because of rights restrictions, I was not able to let the rest of the viewing public see that. And, of course, it's all good because there's plenty of outlets, places for people to go to actually have watched in real time what took place there at the Stade de France.
Spending time here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Folks, he's all the way in Paris. Coley Harvey, and he is social. You can find him always at Coley Harvey, at Coley Harvey. Noel, you got something over there?
Yeah, hi, Cole. How you doing? It's Noel filling in for Greg this morning. And you have been one of the top people I've been following to follow the Olympics. Your Twitter has been on fire, actually. So my question is, how hectic has it been for you just to keep up with all of this stuff? You're everywhere and nowhere at the same time, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it feels sometimes like I'm nowhere. I'm just sitting at my seat in the in the press box watching the beat. No, I've been all over the place, and it has been kind of weird on social. There've been a couple of tweets and posts and things that I had that I didn't think were going to take off, and then I ended up actually getting wrapped up into a viral campaign unsuspectingly. I was asking Noah Lyles a question after the 100 meter race last Sunday, and really, it was about his legacy and his future, and he took the moment to say that he wanted a sneaker of his own.
I saw that, and I thought that was incredible.
That was unreal, yeah. So I went to sleep that night because, of course, once we got done here, it was I got back to the hotel like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. maybe, and so I went straight to sleep, and then I woke up the next morning because by then everyone back home had kind of caught up and seen that, and I had my DMs and texts from friends were blowing up, and I had no reason. I had no understanding why until I saw the clip. And I thought it was a funny moment. I didn't think that it would take off the way that it did, but I understand why, because of who Noah is, because of what that moment was. He had just won his gold medal, his first gold medal in 100 meters. And for him to take that opportunity to say, hey, I want to brand myself in a bigger way. It was an opportunity for Adidas, who is his current sponsor. You know, they certainly had to take note. They had to listen to that. We'll see if something bigger comes of it, because he certainly does deserve it. Is it a shoe that he's most deserving of? That's what he wants, but we'll see.
we'll talk about that. Noel was just and I were just talking about how do we bottle up some of this enthusiasm and excitement for U.S. track and bring it to a meet here in the States. It's difficult because right now we're getting ready to start football season. And so at best it would have to be an indoor meet. But it seems like, you know, you got a lot of momentum right now. And I know Michael Johnson's talking about starting a tour. We had an event here in town, the name of Edwin Moses' name on it at Morehouse that attracted a lot of Olympic-bound track athletes. After you seeing it there in person, what possibly could happen to allow us to, you know, to go out and spectate this here in our country?
Well, you did touch on it. The timing in the U.S. Isn't the best for track because football feels so year-round, even though football is only from, you know, the fall into the winter, but it just feels so year-round. Basketball kicks in right after football is done. And then baseball is, you know, is getting going, and soccer, and some of these other sports that have really gravitated and grabbed a lot of our attention over the years. They're going in the spring, and that's really the time where you'd want to see track and field take off is in the spring and summer. Like you mentioned, this would be a great moment to get some momentum if there was some type of, hey, let's do a post-Olympics tour, and maybe that's something that. As they designed this grand slam idea, which would just be, you know, a couple of meets throughout the year, maybe that's something that they think about in 4 years. That hey, we built up so much great momentum during the Olympics. Let's have some type of roving tour where the athletes can sign up and get paid. That's the most important part. Is you have to have a partner to really pay, not just to pay the athletes, but to pay whatever the rights fees would be for broadcasting and broadcasting in a massive scale. And actually, that question that I had for Noah Lyles the other night, that was really kind of what I was trying to get to. And so when he got done answering the question about the shoe or answering about the shoe in his own way, I pressed him a little bit more. And I said, well, is there anything else that, you know, you can see in terms of the future for American track? And that was when he took the opportunity to say, we need to be broadcast to a much broader audience, because right now it's really just track diehards who are following along. And these are, you know, these are people that are going to these, what he called like back alley type websites where you have to log in and create a subscription. And, you know, you got to find it somewhere on the internet. It's not easy to find track meets, even some of the more large scale. Obviously, the largest, the trials and the world championships and things of that sort, you can find on NBC. NBC broadcasts all of that. But his whole message is, if we're going to really build momentum going forward in the States, it has to be more regular. It has to be in a broad network base. And people just have to watch. But the thing is, clearly people do want to watch because they were paying attention to the 100-meter dash. They were paying attention to the 200 meters. And the other part about that is, like, there was something on the line in those. You know, it was gold medals, Olympic medals on the line. That's the hard part when you are talking about just an ordinary event. What's on the line? You know, what is it that Noah Lyles is really, really competing for, other than training and a little bit of extra exposure? And I think that's where things will get a little tricky for track and field moving forward. But I agree with everyone who believes that it should be viewed more regularly, because every time I've been at a track meet this year, and this is like the fourth or fifth one that I've made in the last couple of months, I've had a great time. I've really enjoyed everything that I've observed. I ran briefly when I was growing up in Atlanta, so I know what track and field events are like, and I know how chaotic and long of days they can be. Yeah. But for the viewing public, certainly there can be some interest.
Yeah. Before we let him go, I gotta get with you folks, and we spent some time with Coley Harvey. He is in Paris. He's been covering the Olympics, and I don't know when he's going to get to come home, because the fight for the flights at the airport after the Olympics are incredible. You might be Wednesday before you get to leave. But anyway, what does L.A. do? What does L.A. do? Because Paris has put on this great, great show, and now they're going to Tinseltown, Hollywood, a place where we're used to seeing great entertainment, great productions. Have you heard anything at all about what L.A. might be scheming up for 4 more years?
Yeah, well, I think we're actually broadly, the rest of us are really going to learn a little bit more tonight as the closing ceremonies get going. This is kind of the first real kickoff for LA 28. And, you know, we know that track and field, the hope at least. It's not 100% confirmed just yet, but the hope from the L.A. Olympic Committee is that they will have track and field at the L.A. Coliseum. The big issue there is that they're having to rebuild the track. Of course, there was a track there many, many years ago, but it doesn't meet even the dimensions don't meet quite what they need in terms of an Olympic standard for today. And so they've got to rebuild this state-of-the-art track at the Coliseum. When they're able to do that is the big question because, wow, of course, USC football plays there.
Those are prime football seats.
Yeah. So that's one place that that will get going. And L.A.'s going to have his hands full because Paris did a great job. There were a few snags along the way, obviously issues with the river and the triathlon, but L.A. has some level of infrastructure that they don't here in Paris, particularly when it comes to getting around the city.
Yeah.
I think that L.A. can do a great job. I just hope that that they take some bits of what Paris did, because the city here actually did a pretty amazing job when it's all said and done, considering everything that went into making this a unique Games here.
It's been great. We don't have to worry about swimming in the Los Angeles River. That's one thing for sure.
Hey, they could be swimming off the Pacific Ocean. You know, they could be swimming off the Santa Monica Pier.
Maybe so. But not the L.A. River. That's for sure. Coley, we appreciate you. We appreciate you spending some time with us, man, and from your very, very busy schedule. Congratulations on job well done, exemplary work, and always so proud of everything that you do over there. But you've really shown up. And the man's been threading, too. I don't know if you've seen any of the pictures of him, Noel.
Oh, but yeah, I've seen him. That white double-breasted coat is mean, Coley. I told you. You have been my Twitter correspondent for the Olympics. You just didn't know it.
Talk about dressed to impress.
I did not know it. Well, thank you, guys. I really appreciate y'all saying that. Thank you for following along, too.
All right, man. Safe travels home. All right, and that was Coley Harvey having the chance to talk to him. Thought we'd bring that back to you again. And I'm looking at this picture you just talked about the white double breast that you mentioned. And I'm seeing this picture that you mentioned with him. Yeah, he's with the Eiffel Tower in the background.
Oh, yeah, he knew what he was doing. That's one of those forever profile pics right there.
Yeah, he's going to keep that one for a while.
Yeah, and then we'll have to take that one to Walgreens and blow it up, put it on the canvas.
All right, folks, we're going to talk some Falcons football next. Joe Patrick's going to join us on this Sunday morning. You stay with us here on Sports Radio, 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sports Radio, 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Yep. Sam Crenshaw, glad you're with us this morning. We got Noel White working on the other side of the glass. And Noelle's keeping out. She's getting the excitement is building because the gold medal game for the U.S. women's basketball team is getting closer and closer. And she's so fired up over there for the whole thing. She's been checking it out.
Yeah, man. We already on. LaChina is locked and ready and loaded, and so am I. You know, LaChina dropped some Atlanta gems on NBC during this.
Oh, did she now?
Oh, yeah. She told everybody what we call the celebrity aisle. At our games. She done dropped the word to the world that we call it Gucci Row.
Uh-huh.
So we'll probably be hearing that a lot more lately at some of these games as you see your LeBron James and all that sit on the sidelines. They'll probably start calling it Gucci Row out in L.A. now.
We'll see. We'll see. Absolutely. Of course, we're getting closer and closer to the start of the pro football season. Now, Falcons got one preseason game down, got two more to go. And a guy who keeps an eye on this team, because I know he does, because I see him there doing it, is Joe Patrick, who joins us now on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Joe, good morning to you.
Sam, good to be with you after we finally get our first taste of football in God knows when. So that was good.
We got our first taste of football, and my goodness, we already hit by the injury bug. It's unavoidable. It's going to happen. But, man, to have three go down, you know, in your first few days here.
Yeah, it is shocking. And, you know, for the Dolphins, too, they were losing guys. There was a stretch of that game, I think, in like the first or second quarter where – it was like after every single play, there was a guy down. And I actually remarked to somebody, I was watching it with some people, actually Abe Gordon being one of them from the station. And, you know, just remarking, just it's kind of crazy how as soon as you put on the pads and you're actually going to ground for the first time, these things seem to happen. And I say that, and it's like, it's not even, you know, that going to ground and that stuff wasn't even necessarily the cause for some of the injuries that we saw, like Braylon Trice, for example, just, you know, is on a pass rush and plants his foot, seems totally innocuous, and it just, the leg kind of buckles and looks like they were looking at his knee. So we're, you know, still waiting to see what happened there. I think that one is really hard to determine what happened. You don't like to see just the amount of pain that he was in. But, you know, with a ligament that just happens non-contact like that, it could be something very serious that causes him the entire season. It could be something that causes him, you know, anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks, which would be relatively minor in the grand scheme of things. So we'll see what happens there. But, you know, the other big one was DeMarco Helms. I actually went back and rewatched that one yesterday, Sam, because they didn't show a replay on the broadcast. They weren't just showing many replays in general of things that were happening. And maybe a good reason for that one, because he was pursuing over to the sideline, looking at the ball, and another Falcons player just kind of whips into the, you know, his lower leg while he's not looking. And it just kind of screams broken leg at that point, especially the way he was reacting to the treatment. And when they put the air cast on the field, that usually indicates a broken.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Bone, which they can pretty easily diagnose there on the field. So we'll see what happens. I don't know if we'll even learn anything. Maybe later tonight we might learn something before we talk to Raheem Morris tomorrow. But certainly seem like two potentially important injuries that this team is going to have to find a way to work around. And that's obviously after having lost Rondale Moore for the season earlier this week.
Yep. We hate to get into counting injuries this soon with two more preseason games to go, but that's kind of the case for this Falcons team right now. Folks, we're spending time on the waitfor.com hotline with Joe Patrick, and he is social. You can always find him at JAPatrick200 at JAPatrick200. 200. Meanwhile, we got a chance to get our first look at Michael Penix Jr. You know, not playing with the number one offensive line. And to me, the coaches said, hey, get it out of your hands quick, because in those early pass attempts, he was getting rid of it pretty fast. But thoughts about what you saw from him?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's pretty exciting. I think for Falcons fans, I think that you can look at Penix's outing, I think, with a lot, like, clearer view, like, just because there aren't expectations that he's going to need to come in and start right away. I don't think that the glasses are kind of tinted in any color one way or another, like, oh, my gosh, he's going to be amazing, or, oh, my gosh, he has so much work to do. I think that you saw, like, a pretty solid performance from a backup quarterback, whether it be a rookie or not. In this league, you know, there was, like you said, the ball was getting out early. He also was able to connect on like a backside dig, which, you know, like a backside, basically like a down and in route. And that kind of indicates a level of him being able to kind of get through his progressions, because usually that route would be the last one you get to in a progression. So that was good to see. We obviously saw him take a few deep shots, which, you know, that's the fun thing about watching Michael Penix plays is, He's got to take his deep shots. He has to throw the ball deep. That's where his efficiency as a passer comes from, because he's so good at connecting at some of those deep balls. We saw him hit one to, I believe it was Chris Blair down the sideline, just kind of dropping it in the bucket. So you got to see some of the arm talent as well. It's really tough to determine like how he would perform in an actual game at this point with like you were saying, with the actual starters, because it was all backups in front of him and around him. You have to imagine that he would only perform even better if he's surrounded by better players. Obviously, he'd be going up against more talented players as well. But I think you got to look at it and say, all in all, it was solid. Sam, I know you've seen him play in training camp so far, and I have as well. And I got to say, like, I think there were some people who were pretty enamored by it. And I got to say, like, I just thought it was kind of, you know, it was fine, because that's kind of the version of Michael Penix that we've seen throughout most of this training camp. And I think that, generally speaking, it's just a pretty solid performance, something you can be happy about.
Yep. Yeah, I think it was very solid, 104 yards, no touchdowns, but no interceptions. And, you know, it was good. My thing is this: how much more do we see of him? And, you know, you can't let what happened to several players weigh in your decisions of what the plan is to do. And I'm sure people will ask Coach Rob about that tomorrow. You still got to play people. You still got to get people tested. You still got to get people evaluated. So going forward, we still got two more preseason games. How much more of him you think we're going to see?
Yeah, that's right, Sam. That last one you said, you know, you still have to evaluate people, and you have to evaluate him. You have to evaluate his receivers and, you know, who's going to make this team, especially when you've lost a guy like Rondale Moore, where, you know, he was pretty much a roster lock, and now you've got to determine which receiver, you know, what other receiver is going to replace him on the roster, and you got to give those receivers an actual chance to show what they can do. And so a lot of that obviously happens in practice. We talk about that a lot, and that's the reason why players, you know, a lot of players don't play in these preseason games, is because they are getting evaluated in other places. But I feel like with Penix, like, yeah, I think it would kind of be a little bit superstitious isn't the right word, but like to just not play him because other players were getting hurt seems like a little kind of just, you're kind of going off of vibes, I guess. And and the other thing is, like, Michael Penix, he's not going to be the starter for this team, so you have to evaluate him, and he's only going to get so many of these opportunities, you know, kind of facing the quote-unquote live bullets from you know, other competition that you're going to be able to have on film to really go over. So I think the Falcons have to make the most out of this preseason with Penix and the opportunities and reps that he's going to get in these situations. So I think they have to continue playing him.
Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline with Joe Patrick, talking about the Falcons and as they get set for their second preseason game. On the defensive side, I mean, you know, you want to see some pass rush, and we got to see a little more of some pass rush from some people up front. You want to see more of that and see how these guys were going to do it. Obviously, you got your people who you look at as your potential starters and the role that they play. It was good to see some, because that obviously helps set things up for your secondary if you can bring some pressures.
Yeah, absolutely. And this team obviously doesn't have the premier edge rusher, and a lot of fans were hoping that the Falcons would acquire that profile player in the draft, where they had the opportunity to draft the best, the pass rusher that they wanted, and they chose not to, obviously, going with Michael Penix. So that means that this team is going to have to create pressure through other means. And I think that I think that they're actually relatively optimistic that they'll be able to do that. Jimmy Lake, Raheem Morris will always tell you that, you know, pressuring the quarterback takes 11 players and actually even starts with the defensive backs, just allowing there to be some time for those edge rushers or those pass rushers to get to the quarterback. But I think that when this team, when you look at what this team did, especially in the draft, after they forwent the pass rusher on the edge, they really did stockpile some guys who could rush from the interior to add to a group that already has the capability of doing that. Like, that's kind of been the strong suit of Grady Jarrett's career. And David Onyemata has shown that he can get after the pass rusher from the interior. And now you add guys like Ruka Roro, Brandon Dorlas. You add weight to an edge guy like Zach Harrison, who can potentially add some pass rush from the interior, especially in passing down. So I think that, you know, the Falcons have done an interesting mix of players who can create havoc along that offensive along the line of scrimmage in those situations. And they're going to hope that, you know, that can get the job done for them, because otherwise they're going to, you know, they're going to just be using a mix of guys along the edge. And I got to say, it was interesting to see Arnold Ebikadi, one of this team's would have thought of to be one of this team's better pass rushers, to be playing basically the entire first half, which, you know, there was a laundry list of players that were released that were not going to play in this game. Those are obviously the starters, both on offense and defense. And just interesting that Arnold Ebikadi was kind of not included in that group and was really out there working hard. And I think that that kind of speaks to, you know, him maybe not being the three down star pass rusher that a lot of people were hoping he could develop into. But I think he could still be an effective player in a similar role to what he was last year, where, you know, he's just rushing the passer a lot on third down, bringing him in specialty situations where he can hopefully help get to the quarterback like this team needs to do.
Yep, absolutely. About to wrap things up here with Joe Patrick. One thing before we let you go, one of the ways you always can make the team is if you exceed on excelling special teams. And we're challenged with this new kickoff. How do you think it looked? And what's your thoughts? We saw it briefly during practice, and now we've seen it in the game.
In general, it's less exciting to me now having seen it. Now I'm kind of holding out my final opinions on this until we actually get regular season games coming where we get to see it. We really get to see the creativity come out. I think that right now the special teams coaches are basically trying to make it look as boring as possible and just kind of as routine as possible before we could get some more creativity, you know. One of the receiving backs kind of passing it back to the other side potentially or something like that. You know, I think that we'll see a lot more, and I do have hope that it will be an exciting play. But so far, yeah, it's not been that exciting. I will say on the topic of like guys who can potentially make this roster on special teams, D'Angelo Malone, a third round pick from a few years ago, has really struggled to kind of make any progress or momentum on the defensive side of the ball, but he continues to come up with, you know, special teams tackles like he did last year. He's kind of made a name for himself as like a core special teamer, similar to the way we think of Kadarrell Hodge being one, even though he doesn't get a ton of run on the offensive side of the ball as a wide receiver. So maybe a way for D'Angelo Malone to make an impact. And hey, if Braylon Trice is out for a while, maybe there's an opportunity for him to, both being third round picks, for him to finally kind of break through and get some more defensive snaps in a system that should be more suited to him.
Something to watch for as we head for a second game in the preseason coming up later this week. Joe Patrick, always great to catch up with you. Look forward to seeing you up at Flowery Branch.
Likewise, Sam. Thanks for having me on.
All right. That is Joe Patrick getting us up to talking some Falcons football. We're headed for the top of the hour. Going to hand it off to John Fricke and wrap things up. You stay with us here on Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. A lot of flights back to the States out of Paris. You know,
I would believe so. Yeah, you know how much we love. You know how much our Americans love to go to Paris and feel opulent. So I'm sure there are plenty of flights headed out.
A lot of flights out of that airport, and but still, everybody doesn't get to get out. And if you have to stay till the end, if you have to stay till the closing ceremonies, there'll be people coming back tomorrow, Tuesday, maybe even Wednesday. To get back from over there, but you know they've been, and which isn't all bad. Once all the games are done. And you say, well, I can't get my flight till Wednesday. Well, now you got a couple of days. You got to just hang out.
Actually enjoy Paris, right?
And just do what you want to do, right? You know, you've been doing what you needed to do, and now you're going to get to do what you want to do.
All right, a couple of days for you before you come back, especially if you're this women's team, because you got to come back and get right back to work if you're this women's basketball team.
Yep, but think about that with fewer people in town. You can actually get to where you're trying to go.
Really, though?
You know, there may have been a restaurant you may have been sizing up, and the line was too long. You couldn't get a reservation. Might be able to get in there now.
I guess you're right. I guess it would turn Paris back into a regular tourist attraction and not a super tourist attraction.
Right. You know, you get some of them people out of there, you can go and see some things and enjoy yourself a little bit. So, you know, if your flight is not until Wednesday, well, it's not all a bad thing.
You might be on to something, Sam.
You know, I think they have a good time there. I would call people back and say, you know, I can't get a flight. I gotta hang around over here for a couple of more days. If you're there and there's an opportunity, I'm sure that the people will want to do that. Braves coming up today. Braves playing at 3:10. They got the win last night big time. The bats came out, and we want to see more of that as they got the win 11-8 over the Colorado Rockies. Matt Olson with a pair of home runs, won a grand slam. That was big to see him and do that for the Braves. They get the win. Let's see if they can take 2 out of 3 from the Rockies. 3:10 today. Spencer Schwellenbach will be the starter for the Braves. Let's see if he can go out and give us a good 6 innings.
I need you to be Schwellenbach. I need you to have a Schwell day on the mound.
That's what we need. That's what we need. Look at you.
Yeah.
You know, let's see if we can get that from him. 3:10 to start today. Let's see if they can get that win before they head for San Francisco for 4 games with the Giants. And the 4 games with the Giants are going to be a deal now because they're right there challenging each other in the wild card hunt. And that's who they're getting ready to face, a team that's right there, eye to eye with the Braves, trying to position themselves for the wild card. No, it's not September yet, but I think these are some games that matter. I think these are clearly, because there's another wild card opponent, these are clearly games that matter here in the early part of August.
They're games we're not used to mattering, but they matter.
This time around, yes. They do. They do matter very much. NASCAR is racing today. Stock cars are back. They've had a couple of weeks off during the Olympics. They are back and racing in Richmond, Virginia today. Denny Hamlin has car 11 on the pole for the race. And, of course, he always drives very, very well. He's a Virginia native, so he always drives well when he's racing up there. Martin Truex Jr. outside of row one, so the Toyota's got row one. Josh Berry, third fastest. Chase Elliott, fourth fastest, and he will start on row two for the race today. Watch out for him. Change with the sponsor. Hooters drops off the car, and Coca-Cola is on it. So if you watched the race today, watch for this bright red car with a 9 on it. That's Chase Elliott. He's going to be out there representing Coca-Cola today. As we go, also Christopher Bell and Austin Dillon qualified for our 5th and 6th, and they will make up row 3. Well, your race coming up today with Richmond, Virginia. We'll see what happens. They're doing something different with a tire, too. I think they're doing something, I forget what it is, but there's a different tire they're making available for them to be able to use. They're going to, the track, just for this track, there's an option for a tire that you can drive with. And they're going to be doing that today up at Richmond. So something else to watch for as they get set for these final 4 races before the playoffs get started. And that will be here at Atlanta Motor Speedway. That's going to be big when the playoffs begin here in just a few weeks. So that's what's coming up. It's coming up. Noelle, you going to watch any more? You going to watch, enjoy the rest of this game?
Yes, I'm going to enjoy the rest of this game and figure out what the last one or two, I think there's like one or two straggler events, and then get ready for the excitement of these closing ceremonies. I want to see what they're going to have Tom Cruise doing to bring it on home to L.A. I'm interested. So they got me booked for the closing ceremonies.
Well, you know, and the thing of it is, with it being NBC, Jimmy Fallon's over there. So I got a feeling we're going to see him at some point doing something with NBC being involved with this. And you may see some people from some other NBC programs or something make some appearances. We'll see. When you pay for the rights to something like this, you want to get your folks in front of the camera, you know, profile them. You get a chance to do that. You know, all that comes with the territory when you drop the cash. They have the broadcast rights for the Olympics, and they have had it all over the place.
They sure have. I no complaints for me from NBC. NBC did what needed to be done. This Olympics, I feel like they left no stone unturned.
Nope, they really didn't.
Even if Colin Jost happened to trip over and turn it, they left no stone unturned.
Did not. It has been a lot of fun to watch. It's been a joy to watch. And, you know, like you said, the competition has been remarkable. The backstories have been incredible. The way that they've covered, the way they presented it, the camera angles in places that we hadn't seen camera angles before for some Olympic events. And then, of course, a new event in breaking. I think that, you know, if you gotten better with it, the first day a lot of people were like, and you think you get a little bit better with it than the second day?
I've seen a lot of complaints about it. I've seen a lot of people just saying straight up that it doesn't need to be an Olympic sport. But I disagree, because I think if you actually watch the breaking, you saw the athleticism of it.
Oh, yeah.
You saw the upper body strength. You saw the endurance they have to have. I mean, some of them dancing in hoodies and cargo pants outside in the sun, just moving and spinning. And so, like, that takes a lot of effort and energy and athletic dedication. And so maybe we need to tweak it a bit. Maybe we need to find better ways to score it. Maybe the U.S.
How do you score?
That's what I couldn't figure out, because when I was watching the women's competition, I didn't think 6-7-1 was as nice as some of the other ones, but she kept going and going and going. I think she wound up winning bronze, and the Lithuanian girl Nika won the silver. I thought Nika was the coldest one of all of them, so maybe there's something I need to figure out about how we're scoring this thing. You know, the announcers were saying a lot about breaking choreography and different moves and being able to tell a story with your body and traditional breaking versus new wave breaking. And a lot of things we're probably a little removed from and aren't really, you know, in touch with. But I enjoyed it. I do think maybe we can tweak some things, but it's year one. It's year one.
Yep.
Don't just scrap it and say be done with it. Let's see if we can tweak it and keep it going, because I enjoyed a lot of the music. I enjoyed the DJs. I enjoyed the dancers.
And just like you said, let's call the folks up in New York and, like, you know what? We got 4 years.
Yeah.
We got 4 years to get ready and get some candidates out there that's going to, you know, have the U.S. in its rightful place when it comes to breakdancing.
I want to take it real old school. Let's get an MC and just one and two on the mic right quick.
How about that?
Hype the crowd on the mic while they breakdancing and spinning around. I feel like we miss some of that element too.
Yep. You know, so when they come to L.A., maybe we'll get some of that, you know?
Oh, I'm up here looking at Gucci Roll. We got Bam Adebayo coming to cheer on his lady.
Yeah.
We got LeBron James sitting out there, Sue Bird sitting out there.
Yeah.
I think Dawn's finally made her way down and out of the commentating booth.
I saw the French national team, the French men's team. Obviously, they're going to.
I saw Yabusele. That's all I saw.
Yep.
So my new favorite French player, Yabusele. That was all I saw.
We got to get him a gig in the States.
Yeah, man. Somebody can use him.
Absolutely. Got to play like that. Like you said, he's bound to get a call. See if he gets it. So the women, the women's team, national team, up 15-9 is there in the second quarter's game. Like I said, these games go shorter games too than normal, and they go quite quickly, but that's coming up. I am glad that you've been with me this morning. Thanks so much for spending some time with us both yesterday morning and tomorrow morning. Look forward to having Greg back in place with us next week for more things that he will bring, cast and call, and just all the madness and hijinks that we have here usually on weekend mornings. But glad you've been with us this morning. We got John Fricke coming up. He is coming up next. And, you know, going to spend some time. Of course, we got football coming up later on today. Pregame at 4 o'clock, kickoff at 4:30. Cowboys and Rams, have a wonderful. Noel, thanks so much for everything.
No problem. Thank you, Sam. I've had a ball.
Absolutely. Let's do it again sometime.
Yay.
Enjoy your Sunday here on Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com.
See you, Atlanta.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.